singing. I don't care where you're from, all the way around. That's just good as unto the Lord. Let me see if I got the button on now. How about that? Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 16. Good singing. Good solo, family, congregational, just good time in the Lord. And we bless the Lord for it. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts, Acts 16. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse number 5. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And now, whenever they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, how'd you like to be a missionary with that kind of testimony? We were sent to Asia, we thought. Holy Ghost of God wouldn't let us preach. After they went, they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Don't you worry, we're going to find a place to be able to go, and let's try it over here at Mysia and then in Bithynia. But the Holy Ghost said, no, we're not going there either. And they passing by Mysia, they came into Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and the colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Can you remember when God opened up your heart? She attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray that, Lord, you'd forgive us when we failed thee. And, Lord, we praise you and thank you because that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Now, bless, I pray, the word now to every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on an old sermon entitled Preaching, Praying, and Possession in Prison. And, man, what a combination that is. You know, the Bible teaches us and tells us is that the word of the Lord has been published, and great is the company that publishes them. We think about all the people and the people that in the day and hour that we're living in, and how that they are publishing the word of the Lord. Baker Bookhouse, Zondervan, and many of these others that we've got, World Publishing, Oxford, and so forth and on. But these are not the ones that really put it down to start out well. In these 66 books of the Bible that God has given us, God spake unto man by the Holy Ghost of God. And as a result of that, the word of the Lord was finally published. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you the reason why that there's been so much effort that's gone forth in being able to preach the word of the Lord. Now, we live in a world that perverts it. Somehow or another, they want to get away from what God's given. They want to correct what God's given. And let me say to you that, if you will, it doesn't need any improvement. It's already perfectly there. You'll find out that when you read the blessed word of the Lord, you can bank on what God had to say, and plus nothing and minus nothing. Now, I want to say to you that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every colony, every city, every town, every community ought to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are, where you hail from, not everyone's going to believe it, but everyone ought to hear him. Let me tell you, the Bible said that it ought to be by the power of the Holy Ghost of God in verse number 6 that we've read. And by the way, let me say to you, is that it's good to have some aspiration to be able to want to do this or that, But you better just be careful and be sensitive unto God where God wants you to be at and what God wants you to be involved in. Is that you'll find it was by the power of the Holy Ghost of God that they ended up down there at Philippi. Did you notice is that it twice that he said they were going to go to here and there and over in Asia, but the Holy Ghost of God forbade them and wouldn't allow them to go over there and preach the word in Asia. After that, you'll find out that they were going to go to Mysia and Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. You know, in the day we live in, we're just trying to be able to look for, and I'm not against some radio time, video time, whatever it is they publish, you know, on the internet. I'm not against some of that. Some of it looks pretty wigged out and silly when they're sliding around and making a fool of themselves and all that. But I'm not opposed to that. But let me just tell you right now that we'd better be looking for and sensitive unto the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't make any difference, and God's not tied to how many or how few that we may have. In fact, is you'll find out they were going anywhere and everywhere trying to preach and establish more churches. And yet you'll find is that whenever finally the Holy Ghost of God had come in a night vision and told Paul the apostle over there, come to Macedonia over here and help us, and he went to Philippi, and as a result of that, they began to deal with the colony. I want to say to you that if you will, not everyone's going to believe the gospel, but everyone ought to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the lesson that we're looking at here this morning, you're going to find out is that to whom we preach and where we go ought to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth it, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. And let me say to you that these are people here that whenever the gospel was being preached, it loosens the chains that binds us and cleanses us from the sin that has captivated us. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out the preaching of the gospel is a worldwide ministry. Do you realize at all that the God, whenever he said the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, that's the gospel of Jesus which we preach, which means he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That whosoever will believe and come to him can have everlasting life. Now that means here in the United States, it means across on the other side of the world, it means anywhere and everywhere there's but one name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Now see, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we get to the place where that we're thinking, well, you know, where we're living, this is working and all that. I got to tell you, what you got working here will work anywhere in the world. And if what you got is not real, it won't work anywhere else in the world, because there's only one way of salvation, never has been but one way, won't be but one way tonight and tomorrow, next month, next year. And that is through the death and the burial and the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Salvation's by the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that the gospel, we learn, can open up your heart. Now, when they went down there to Philippi, you find is that there was a certain woman by the name of Lydia. That's something how God knew her name, isn't it? And as a result of that, you'll find she's a worshiper of God, but she's not saved. Here's a gal that shows up there to the petticoat meeting on the riverbank. And here's a gal that shows up and gets at the synagogue and meets with them. Here's a gal that's been worshiping God the best she knew how. But being the best you know how is not going to do it. That's the reason why that he mentioned twice there that they wanted to go here and the Spirit of God suffered them not. They wanted to go there and the Holy Ghost suffered them not. And then finally, they were led by the Spirit of God and ended up down there at Philippi. And there's a woman by the name of Lydia. She's a woman of position, by the way. And here she is that God knows her name. I want to tell you something right now. The Bible said the Lord opened up her heart in verse number, where was it, 14? and says, the woman, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Well, I want to tell you something. When the Lord opens up your heart, she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And let me say to you that if you will, she not only heard the gospel, she attended to the gospel, she accepted the gospel, she received the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin to be her Lord and Savior. You know, salvation is for free. And let me tell you, it's for everyone that'll receive it, and it's for everlasting to those that do. Make no mistake about it, is that Lydia is a woman that had been listening, but now she's attended, now she's receiving it. He listened. He once was in her head, and now he's in her heart. And then she's in the home, and here's what she said. If you judge me to be faithful, I'd like you to come to my house. Do you realize that on the average day we're living in, just bow your head, repeat a prayer and all that, and if we don't ever see you again, at least we got you in the baptistry and on the church roll. That's kind of where it's at in the day we live in. But I got to tell you right now is, here's what she said. I've been worshiping God, and I had it in my head for a long time. Today, when I heard the Apostle Paul, God moved it down to my heart. And let me tell you right now is that I'm going home a saved woman, a changed life, and I'm going home to be able to worship the Spirit of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, if you judge me to be faithful, I want you to come to my house, is what she told those men of God that were there. Boy, you'd just think all of a sudden that, hey, revival just would break out everywhere. But in the next passage on down there, there's a damsel, a demon-possessed one. And as a result of that, you'll find out she's been following. In verse 16, it came to pass that as we went to prayer. You ever notice how the devil will mess with you when you're getting ready to go to prayer, go to church? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, he doesn't care whatever else you do. He doesn't care how many times you miss, and he doesn't care what you're involved in. He doesn't care how busy you are with yourself. Is that? But he hates it when you're praying, and he hates it when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there, and it came to pass, is that whenever they went to prayer, that a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, I want to tell you something right now, is that you'll find out the spirit of divination is a spirit of division. It's a spirit of devilment. And let me say to you that, if you will, that she's a person of soothsaying, and she's busy, you know, about this and that, making money for those that she's working for. And let me tell you right now, we live in a world, and I'm not talking about just here locally, and I'm not talking about here across the, we're talking about in a worldwide religious possession that's more interested in gain than they are the gospel. I mean, that's what we really are. And in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out is that if you've got your eye on gain, you'll never be much for God. And the reason being is because it's going to take too much of your time. I mean, church is going to get in your way. If your eyes are set on becoming a multimillionaire, you're probably not going to be much in the work of God, in the realm of God. If your eyes are upon gain in the possession of this world, you better remember God said, what would a man give in exchange for a soul? You see? I got to say to you that, if you will, I'm not against making money. I've got money. I've got some money that's not in this pocket this morning, but I had some money earlier, and I laid it out on the desk somewhere. I got to tell you right now, having food and remnant we've lost sight of, let us therewith be content. We've lost that in the day we live in. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that this woman there, the average Baptist would have went ahead and baptized her and put her on the church roll, because she came along behind them after they were going to prayer, and they followed Paul, and she said, they said unto us, and crying, in other words, Luke was there too, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Even the devil can recognize a Bible preacher. Even the devil recognizes somebody that believes God and believes the Bible. In fact, is if you were flipping over there to the book of Acts in chapter number 19, remember over there in about verse 11, Remember that the miracles of Paul, they took kerchiefs or handkerchiefs, and they did special miracles by those handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed out of the evil spirits. Remember those seven sons of Sceva? They thought, you know, we'd like to have power like that. Listen, the devil and his crowds always admired the attraction of the Spirit and the power of the Lord. And the Bible said they decided, you know what we're going to do is, we're going to start doing that too. And in verse 14 of chapter 19, and there were seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I guarantee right now the devil knows who Jesus is. And if you're worth your salt, the devil may know who you are. But the devil didn't know who these guys were. And here's what he said, but who are ye? And but he leaps on them, begins to whip them, and leaves them wounded, and so forth. Now, you know the reason being, verse 13, the certain of the vagabond exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. He couldn't say whom we preach. They don't preach anything. We just live in a world of copycat preaching across the country, dear friend. And here's what the devil, whenever he came up, he looked at Sceva, the sons of Sceva, and said, I know who Paul is. I know who Jesus is. But who are ye? And buddy, they began to jump on him and beat the snot out of him. I don't have time to be able to go into all of that business there, but I want you to look in about chapter number 19. It's about verse number 25. And when he called together the workmen of like occupation, and they said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now, I want you to watch that. You know what ought to unite you and I together? Not our billfold, but our Bible. That's what he's saying. There's nothing wrong with being able to make money and to make more money than you're probably living on. Nothing wrong with that. But whenever you get to where money's got a hold of you instead of you've got a hold of it, you've crossed the line somewhere. It ought not to be the billfold, but the Bible that unites you and I as children of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, this demon-possessed girl said, these are men of the Most High God. And in verse number 30 of chapter 17, and let me tell you right now is that chapter 16. And in the passage there, in verse number 18, and this they did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them there to the marketplace of rulers. And, of course, you know, they beat them. And then they throw them into the inner chamber. And as a result of that, you'll find that's where the story takes place in a worldwide revival, finally turns them loose and lets them go. I want to say to you that you and I may get bound up with this or that in line, but the Word of God's never bound. They may throw us into prison, but the Word of God's not bound. Now, they may get to the place, you know, that where the big question is finally asked. And in verse number 30, here's where it's at, of chapter number 16. And brought them out and said, sirs, now this is the jailer, what must I do to be saved? Now I want to tell you something. If you got saved by the grace of God, God shook you up. God turned you loose. God saved your soul and took up residence living on the inside of you. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, the needed response was in verse number 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, in the day and hour we live in, if you were preaching that out there on the street, you might find some Lucifer worshiper. They're not going to believe the Lord Jesus. They're not going to receive the Lord Jesus. You might find some person that's a Muslim, and they might be worshiping Allah. They're not going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what they believe and how they believe it. Anybody that's involved in something that adds to the Lord Jesus or takes away from the Lord Jesus is not going to get born into the family of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I remember the day when God came knocking on my heart's door, and I knew that it was the Holy Spirit of God, and I knew the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know exactly what it's like to be like Lydia the day the Lord opened her heart and she attended unto things that were spoken by the Apostle Paul and those men there. Salvation's by the word of the Lord. Salvation's in a person. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you, is that when you get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it brings great rejoicing unto your heart. They were singing, they were praying, they were preaching even in jail. And boy, let me tell you right now is, just like God got a hold of Lydia's heart and saved her, here's a man that's a jailer that finally they went to jail. By the way, I don't want to have to go to jail to preach to somebody. I'd rather them to come just listen, but if you have to, you have to. Sometimes you just have to. You know what the idea is? We're not serving God because of a location. We're not serving God because of the fact that it's convenient. We're serving God, ought to be by the leadership of the Lord, where He's placed us, where He's put us, and we're trying to leave behind a family that loves God and the Bible and carries on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we've seen a lot come and a lot go. And let me tell you, we haven't seen all that are going to come or go. But God will never be the same. There's nothing that's going to be able to top Him. And He ought to stir us up to the place to where others can see Jesus in us and be able to ask, what must I do in order to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not only that, but thy house. The same message that'll save you will save your house. And boy, I'm glad to know that I'm a part of the family of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. There may be somebody that say, I'm undone without God, and I'm tired of being in this condition. I don't want to die without the Lord. I want to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I hope that you'll trouble their heart, even upon their bed, in their house, in their home, on their job, when they go up and down the road of life, until they finally find, realize and own it's their individuality that needs to bow their head and their heart to prayer and ask Christ to be Lord and Savior of their life. Thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable.